I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it'll get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
It's fascinating what laws the DOJ decides to enforce and what laws it doesn't. I just put that out there and automatically you'll probably think, well, hold on a second. Immigration law, is it legal to be an illegal in this country? Well, what they do is they nullify the laws by, under the Biden regime, not actually enforcing them. So the laws are still on the books, but people don't actually get deported. So is it really even a law anymore? That's one that's violated millions and millions of times across the country. And the American people are, by solid majority, not on board with this. That's why the Democrats don't like people paying attention to what's going on at our lawless southern border. Another one that Clay and I remember talking about in detail here on the show. You can't actually gather outside the homes of a Supreme Court justice and threaten them. There's a federal law against that. And it's not hard to know if people are breaking that federal law because mobs gathered at the private residence of a Supreme Court justice is clearly meant to obstruct and interfere with the judicial process. But that went on for days and days after the leak. Did we ever find out who leaked that, by the way? I don't think we ever will.
No, of course not.
And if we do, it'll just be that person gets a bigger book deal from the latest, you know, lib publishing company. But the law against intimidation of justices, Clay, was completely unenforced, and they never explained why. All of those people were breaking the law, but it was super important that you could abort a baby for all 9 months of a pregnancy to those people. So Merrick Garland's DOJ did nothing. Did nothing. I mean, they added, after there was an attempt on Kavanaugh's life, a few extra police on the streets to make sure that, you know, they wouldn't have to deal with that one. I bring all this up because over the weekend something happened to show you what the priorities of this Department of Justice really are. A Catholic pro-life activist named Mark Houck was arrested at his Pennsylvania home, rural Pennsylvania, over the weekend. The FBI has confirmed about 20 FBI, or I should say a source at the FBI, about 20 agents showed up early in the morning, banging on the door. They apparently had long guns. They handcuffed Mark Houck. They actually had a belly chain attached to the handcuff, so he was sort of really, in case he was some risk to them. You might be wondering, what did this pro-life activist do? Oh, he was arrested by the FBI over something called the FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. And it has to do with a dispute involving a 72-year-old man in identified as BL outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic on October 13th, 2021. Words were exchanged between Houck and this BL, that's, they just give the initials, man, because BL apparently shouted profane things at the son of Houck. There was a shove. There was no serious injury to anyone. This was adjudicated in the courts already. Nothing happened as a result of it. But now, Houck had the FBI show up at his home. He faces, under the FACE Act, which is a special law that the left passed, that if you do anything, if you even stand in the way of somebody trying to get into an abortion clinic, it is a matter of federal law. He faces up to 11 years in prison and fines of up to $350,000. Clay, they had the time to do this, but they don't have the time to investigate Hunter and his dealings. They have the time to do this, but not to track down the months and months of BLM rioters of 2020. Or even, did you see this weekend, the Wawa in Philadelphia? No time for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, look, what's going on here is there is a desperate and calculated attempt to make two things the number one stories in the midterm. Donald Trump, and I will say this, it's amazing to me how quickly that Letitia James lawsuit vanished. Remember we talked about it, I said, hey, it's a civil lawsuit. It's total BS because, and this is me being a lawyer, who was defrauded here? All of the banks, which if you ever try to get a loan, the idea that they're giving out tens of millions of dollars in loans without doing an amazing amount of due diligence is just not true. But the loans were paid back. So I don't understand how you can commit fraud when the banks that loan the money make back all of their initial investment loan.
It is true victimless crime. There's no victim here.
That's not even a crime because the banks were paid back. I guess you can argue that the banks would have made more money in loans, but are you really arguing that the banks are the victim here, that they didn't do good enough diligence?
They didn't bring the complaint. Letitia James is complaining on behalf of the largest and most sophisticated financial institutions on the planet that in their dealings with Donald Trump, she thinks that Trump was too smart for them, basically.
Yes.
That's what she's doing, and it's a joke.
And they made money on them, which is why all of this, as soon as we talked about it, he said it's civil. This is a total BS suit, but it vanished. Because I think most people are recognizing, as we sit here 43 days out from the midterm, Trump's not on the ballot. And by the way, if you do believe Trump is on the ballot, and you're a Republican, go out and vote. Trump's not on the ballot himself directly, but if you believe that Democrats are overreaching for Department of Justice purposes, you should go out and vote for all Republican candidates to try to create a check on the raw, unrestrained power of the Biden administration. But they're trying to put Trump on the ballot, and they're trying to put abortion on the ballot. The interesting thing about abortion, we'll come back, I'll break this down a little bit more, but the interesting thing about abortion, Buck, is but for the idiocy of Lindsey Graham, which I'm going to tee off on in this next segment. I mean, the guy's an imbecile right now with what he's trying to do. This is not really on the ballot, Buck, because if you are desperately committed to your state and you care a tremendous amount about what the law is in your state, you can go vote for state legislators, for representatives, for senators in your individual state. But by and large, all Roe v. Wade did, and I think more and more people are recognizing this, is shift the battleground from the courts to the individual state legislatures. Governors can make these choices, and your representatives on a state level. It's not a federal issue anymore. And so they're desperate, Buck, to make it two things, Trump and abortion, and I think they're failing, which is why they're getting more and more aggressive in trying to put this story front and center.
Right. Well, this is showing the left-wing base and the NARAL, pro-choice America, Planned Parenthood donor class, that Merrick Garland's DOJ, even without any constitutional backing for abortion whatsoever now, overturned, not a constitutional right, deal with it, libs, Merrick Garland's DOJ has their back. At a time when we have, Clay, what is it now, 40% national increase in homicides, 30-35% maybe?
Yes, since
something
Biden
like
came in
office, I think 30-35% might be the actual number, but massive increase in national homicides since 2019. At a time when we're finding out that there are police jurisdictions that they could use federal help, by the way. I worked for something that was effectively a fusion center in New York. We had FBI, DEA, NYPD all together. And a lot of times, local, state, and federal law enforcement work hand in hand. We have a massive violent crime problem out of control across the country. But Merrick Garland's FBI has the time to go arrest a pro-life activist for a shove without injury 2 years or whatever, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me. But this is all politics. What Letitia James did with the Trump, you know, whatever we call that, civil suit, this is Merrick Garland doing it at the DOJ, which is even scarier.
No doubt. And again, to your point, I believe you said this happened in October of 2021.
Yes.
It's now been almost a year. And the idea that you need to arrest a father of seven with 20 armed FBI agents, it's all a show. It's designed to create this storyline. And again, I think you just have to be smart enough to recognize out there, this is an inflation economy election. This is a border election. This is a crime election. And this is a failure to handle your kids and school election. It ain't an abortion election, and it certainly isn't a referendum
on
Donald Trump.
This law is nonsense, by the way. The notion there should be elevated protections for people in essentially a largely verbal altercation outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic. This is not the federal judiciary. There don't need to be enhanced protections. Sorry, libs, you don't have a constitutional right anymore to this. That's a whole other part of this, too. A lot of these laws need to be rolled back and need to be challenged in the courts. But, I mean, Clay, 11 years for a shove without injury? I mean, if the guy hits his head and he's in a coma, fine, but he got up and he was fine. The whole thing is
crazy. I mean, we
know
that a first-degree murderer in Memphis, to use as an example, that ended up going on a shooting spree all over the city. What did he get? 3 years for attempted first-degree murder?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Remember? I mean, and then he goes out and kills, you know, four or five people.
This is libs with their law and order. That's how libs do it, friends. All right, switching to something really positive. Yesterday in New York City, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation had an amazing event, their annual 5K run and walk. You had 30,000 people retracing the steps of firefighter Stephen Siller. On the morning of 9/11, he had just finished his shift and was on his way to play golf with his brothers when he got word over his scanner that a plane had hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center. He called his wife, Sally, asked her to tell his brothers he'd catch up with them later. He drove to the entrance of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, which was closed, and ran through it wearing 60 pounds of gear as others ran the other way. He never came back. His older brother Frank, who we've had on the show many times, founded Tunnel to Towers in his memory, and it raises money for the families of fallen first responders and their families. And yesterday's event was a huge success, raising so much money for this incredibly worthy cause. I actually sponsored my friend Raheem Kassam. He was running in this one. He raised over $13,000. Well done, Raheem. Clay and I also just donate, as a matter of course, $11 every month. And you can too. This is such an important cause. We have a debt of honor to these heroes and their families. Go to T2T.org. That's T2T.org to learn more. Words alone can't describe this annual 5K run walk event. So Raheem and producer Ali, by the way, was also there. Do you want to tell us what your time was? It's very fast, very speedy. She took photos and video. We posted it all up at clayandbuck.com. A great event for a really worthy, fantastic cause. A lot of money raised. T2T.org, friends. Get involved. Go do one of these runs or run/walk when you can, or just donate right now, or both. T2T.org.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons, One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. 42 days, count them, until Election Day, November 8th, my friends. It is coming quickly, and it is going to be a sprint to the finish. We've got a lot on the latest polling in the critical races. What indicators are we seeing? Some very encouraging signs for the GOP. Let's just hope they can focus in, not get distracted by nonsense. And always remember, you got to leave a little room for Democrat shenanigans in the last few weeks here, too. Democrat malarkey all over the place. Joe Biden talking about the economy. Clay and I will give you our sense of everyone that I know and talk to about what they're doing with their money. It's, you know, stuff it in the mattress time for a lot of people, right?
It's a scary time right now, I think, for a lot.
Yeah. I mean, people I know are pulling money. Anything that's super risky, or not even super risky, just anything that they feel like, you know, could really get hit even more. So there's a real sense, and with the housing market heading into some very rough waters, things are going to be tough. Joe Biden's telling everybody, though, things are great. There was an FBI raid of a pro-life activist house over the weekend in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, that got a lot of attention. Mark Houck, who is the founder and president of the King's Men. A lot of folks looking at this and saying, why was a father and pro-life activist woken up by effectively a Justice Department SWAT raid in the morning over the weekend? When you hear the story, you're going to realize DOJ is absolutely politicized, especially on any issues having to do with abortion last weeks here of the election. Plus a very interesting, speaking of elections, Clay, do you see what's going on in Italy?
Yeah.
Where it's fascinating because I had no idea that God, family, and country in Italian translates to evil fascist who is just like Mussolini. Hold on a second. I didn't know. So you have the first female prime minister of Italy. Prime minister, right? Not president.
That's right.
And that's always a tough one for us Americans. We're like prime minister, president. Who's the important one? Giorgia Meloni has become Italy's new prime minister. And look, we don't spend a ton of time in foreign politics here. Every country's got their own specifics. But people do see, at this point in time, some clear comparisons, some similarities, Clay, I think, between an Italy that has a tremendous amount of illegal immigration. Theirs comes particularly from North Africa. An Italy that is increasingly feeling like it's corporatist and run. I mean, this is from Meloni's speech. She says, we're effectively all treated like we're just consumers with no family, no God, and no future other than to consume and to do what the corporates tell us to do. People see this, they're saying, hey, first of all, not a lot of glass ceiling shattering for the first female prime minister when you look at what's going on here and the way they cover it in this country. Clay, people want to be a part of something more than just buy what we tell you to buy, get the shots we tell you to get, and shut your mouth.
I think this is also a part of a tremendous global repudiation of the leadership that many of our countries dealt with during COVID. And you'll remember that Italy was one of the most draconian COVID-restricting countries out there. And I really do believe that there is a desperate yearning for a new breath of freedom all around the world. And that the people who are in control, the so-called experts and elites, what I would just say is Dr. Fauci is a perfect stand-in of that community, are overwhelmingly being rejected right now across the country, Buck. Just as an example, I don't know if you saw this from Alex Berenson, but I thought it jumped out to me about, we've talked about the parents rejecting the COVID shots for their kids and even how some of the media is having to start to cover it. But also, even the people who were all in on the boosters, just 2%, this is from Berenson this morning, Buck, 2% of young kids are fully COVID vaccinated. That means 98% of kids, young kids, these are kids 6 months to 5 years old, parents are saying no. 49 out of 50 are saying no. I mean, that's an overwhelming number. And only 2% of eligible adults are getting the new COVID booster so far. Now, I know there's a lot of people probably out there listening to us right now, Buck, who maybe trusted the government and got that first couple of shots. Maybe you even got your first booster. What we're seeing, I think, is while people might not be saying it publicly, they're voting with their feet and they are rejecting this Biden, Fauci sort of collective grasp on all of their freedoms. And I think as we sit here, what are we, 43 days officially out? I think tomorrow will be 6 weeks until the midterm. The rising tide is coming. I am feeling the beginnings of a substantial red wave.
Right. I'm optimistic, but in a way where we have to keep pushing because, as we've said along, you must run up the scoreboard. Close run correct. Victory here, not good enough. It has to be an absolute butt kicking. And on the point, it's an excellent one, by the way, about what Italy went completely insane during COVID.
Yes.
As a country went completely
and they,
nuts.
You, constantly, almost, you remember this, Buck? Everybody said, "Oh, United States is going to be the next Italy." You remember right. this when you well, wouldn't say anything.
Italy was the country where we saw what was going on, particularly in northern Italy, and everybody was thinking, "Oh my gosh, this is the modern panicked. Plague. This is going to be like the 1918 influenza pandemic." All of that, right? It really started with those images out of northern Italy, and then Italy went to extremes, almost Australia level. The only thing is Italy's not an island, right? So it wasn't right. able to isolate itself quite the same way. But I'm reminded here, whether it's Meloni or so many other people who are now coming forward to talk about globalism, corporatists, we got a real taste of what is global government during the pandemic. I think it more than at any other time probably ever, I mean, certainly in living memory, where there was this collaboration of corporations, governments, and the global medical elites, who, by the way, abject failures, not just Fauci, all the people who went along with Fauci, all of it. They told everybody what to do. They made everybody and used the force of the state to do it. They enriched the pharma companies that were making these shots that were now we see almost worthless. I mean, they've turned certainly to this point
yes.
to be almost worthless at this phase. And yes, there should be a reckoning. I mean, remember that the quote from Patton? You love Patton, right? One of the great,
I love him. Yeah,
one
yeah.
of the great wartime movies or war movies of all time. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee and he asks you, "What did he do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, "Well, I shoveled stuff in Louisiana, you know? Meaning it was a real moment, right? It was a real call-up moment. The COVID pandemic for government, for the elites, for corporations was a moment in history that everybody should remember and should remember for decades to come because it showed you how far down the pathway of tyranny we can be taken by people who claim to be experts and have nothing but the best intentions. And where were people like Meloni? I'll say this. Meloni of Italy, big opponent of lockdowns, big opponent of mandatory vaccinations. She was right on those issues, and the Italian people rewarded her. I think there should be a parallel in this country on those issues.
I agree with you, and I also don't think we can underrate, to your point, the Patton analogy is a great one. There are a lot of people who desperately want to believe that they were on the right side of history for COVID. and they ended up being on the wrong side of history. They want to live in these crucible moments in time that matter so much so they can Instagram their existence into, you know, putting up a Ukraine flag or putting themselves up with a picture of the mask. I mean, all of these things are about social sort of platforming of yourself, the virtue signaling, and they got it all wrong. And I'm writing, you know, on my new book now, Buck, because I'm a history nerd like you are. I was a history major in college. And one of the biggest fallacies has been out there for the entire Trump era is this concept of right and wrong side of history. Because increasingly, as you break it down, the left is wrong on everything about their historical resonance. And I mean, just think about this for a minute. All these people who told you, hey, you have to go get the COVID shot. Hey, you have to go lock yourself in your house. Hey, your kids can't be in school. They're now wrong on everything. And I'm genuinely curious because they're basically pretending that the COVID shot still works. But the numbers out there reflect that even the people who are saying it publicly, Buck, when 98% of parents are not getting the COVID shot for their kids, look, it ain't 98% of Republicans out there, right? I mean, we're not winning elections 98-2.
There are millions of people now. Now I understand they're libs, and they think they're really smart, but there are millions of people, including parents, unfortunately, who not only masked up their own children, but demanded that other children be masked, not only made their own children get shots they didn't need, but demanded that other children get shots.
That's right.
That supported the politicians and the policies that did all this stuff. When it comes to kids, we got on with COVID, the apparatus got everything wrong. They got literally not a single thing right when it came to kids. And that's why, I mean, I do think people have been pointing out, because I keep saying, you know, in the economy, which is inflation too, right? I mean, inflation's the biggest driver of the pain we're seeing. But the economy, immigration, crime, people keep saying schools.
Yeah.
And they throw that in at the end. And I say, you know what? There's some real resonance there because the destruction of children's futures that occurred because of the learning loss and the kids, especially the kids with speech impediments. And I keep saying, and I had a speech impediment as a kid, that's really hard on your psychology. You're trying to communicate with your peers and with adults and people make fun of you. Really harmful to them to have to be masked up and have other people be masked during the pandemic. It's not like there was a trade-off made, Clay. That was one of the fundamental lies about this. Okay, fine, there's some downside, but there's so much upside we're willing to do it. It was all downside. And that's the part that I think even a lot of parents who went along with this stuff, they just psychologically can't handle that right now.
But a lot of those people, I think, Buck, are listening to us. I think they found us during COVID. And they're like, oh, these guys are not. Again, that's why I like the tagline that we use, sanity in a time of insanity. When 98% of parents of young children are not getting them the double COVID shots, and when only around 2% of people that might have even already gotten 3 or 4 shots are finally saying, yeah, I'm not willing to go get the fourth shot, they're not saying publicly what their actions are reflecting, but I do think they are responsive when you make those arguments. And I think we have to say, Buck, look, we welcome you. If you initially bought in, and you thought, hey, I should go get these double COVID shots. Hey, I should get a booster. I'm going to trust my government. And now you're looking at the data and you're starting to recognize that you were sold a bill of goods. Open up your eyes on other issues, too, because it's not just COVID.
Look, the one part of this where I'll say I got it wrong. I knew masks were bullcrap essentially day one. Like, I knew this was a total joke all along. Lockdowns, senseless, crazy. We're all just going to eventually get to herd immunity. The only place where I have to go back and say, oh, I got that one a little. I thought the first round of vaccination would be more effective than it ended up being for those
did.
At risk. I was
I
like, look, they're telling us 95% effective. They can't be. I know they're wrong a lot, but they can't be that wrong. And they were.
And I were texting and talking about this privately before we even said it on the radio, because we were like, if you start to look at this data. And I remember you saying, like, they can't be this wrong, right?
Yes,
like, they can't
that's what
have
I kept
just
saying.
Totally,
like, they can't
I mean, in your head, I mean, I think
off.
That's rational.
And they were.
I think that's rational. I think that's a lot of people listening to us right now who bought in initially. Look, we're going to try to be honest with you. We're not going to get everything right. But again, last year when we were having Alex Berenson on, I was like, man, I trust that he's right. But I was like, man, this is kind of controversial stuff to be saying that the COVID shots are not going to work, because at the time we were being told they were a medical miracle and they were going to end COVID forever.
And there's something about, and this goes to what we saw, I think, with the rise of Giorgia Meloni in Italy. Also, by the way, Sweden just elected a, I hate that it was just from far right. I mean, do they mean
rational,
right?
You know, reasonable?
Like, what does that really mean, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you have a group that is elected in Europe by an entire very sophisticated, highly literate country, or by a plurality or majority, whatever it may be, and the media says they're a fascist, you should start asking questions. It's like, are they really fascist? Is that really true? Because
I mean, Buck, USA Today called me a right-wing extremist. A right-wing extremist.
Clay, I'm still jealous, all right? We need to stop. It's unfair. I've yet, you Google me, I think it just says right-wing. I don't get the extremist tag, but I'm working on it. We got more on this, and including on the economy. By the way, do you see the Professor Jeremy Siegel of the Wharton School of Business? He is a monetary policy nerd, and I say that with respectfully. You see, he's just flipping out. He's like, does everyone understand what's really going on here, which is that the entity that got everything wrong for political reasons is now saying we're going to get everything right.
It's scary. And also, our boy Fetterman, did you see he tried to talk about sports and he can't even talk about sports? Did you see this audio?
Oh, my God. We'll get to all. We got a lot, folks. It's Monday. You know where we stacked on Monday. The federal government, we're just talking about it, likes spending money they don't have. And that reckless spending has been driving up the cost of everything. It's not right. But you and I already know that. You need to do things about it, though, right? Lower your monthly expenses. That's a great thing to do right now. I know so many people who are cutting back. One of the things you can do to just have extra cash at the end of every month, switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk like I did. Pure Talk operates on America's most reliable 5G network. You are not sacrificing coverage, but you are saving money every single month. Just look at your cell phone bill. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, I know how much you pay because I used to be with one of them too. Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. That's real savings that you can go to use to cover groceries, gas, whatever you need. Pure Talk has never raised rates. Take action today. Dial #250. Say Clay and Buck. You'll save 50% off your first month. Just dial #250. Say Clay and Buck. You'll be connected to Pure Talk's customer service team and you'll switch. It's so easy. Dial #250. Say Clay and Buck.
We are headed up to the great state of Minnesota. Golden Gophers 4-0. If you are a Minnesota sports fan, you can celebrate. I bet Buck didn't know
that.
I'm
all about the Golden Gophers. All about it.
BJ Fleck has got them at 4-0. I bet that our next guest, Dr. Scott Jensen, would know about that because it looks like they may be making a trip to Indianapolis. Only one top 25 team on the schedule the rest of the way. Dr. Jensen, are you a Golden Gopher guy?
In my family, we have a total of 10 degrees from the University of Minnesota. We actually have gopher blood in our veins.
Well, it's been a good season so far. So that's a positive. Buck and I are fired up. I want to set you up. You've got an MD. We do not. As more and more the evidence comes out about the deleterious impact of lockdowns, of schools, everything else associated with that, how wrong were we on COVID, and how much are you hearing from Minnesota voters about the errors of that way? Is it a significant impact in your race?
It is a significant impact, and it seems like almost each week that passes, there's more to tell us. I mean, we see Joe Biden say the pandemic is over, and we see everybody scrambling, and we see his own experts and researchers criticizing him, and then he tries to walk it back. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to recognize that what we did for those 2.5 years, when we locked kids out of school and we locked nursing homes into facilities that had literally become infested with that virus through policies of, if you will, Tim Walz and a variety of other Democratic governors, those policies caused horrific deaths in the nursing home population. When we locked businesses down capriciously, where in Minnesota, we had 2 different lockdowns, but the second one, you could get a haircut. Evidently, the science showed us that the virus didn't like hair anymore. These are the kinds of short-sighted policymaking that really hurt us. And the whole idea of one size fits all doesn't work. And then we had for a while the denying of natural immunity. Then we had the goalpost being moved. And then we saw the epidemic of fear. And we tried to see people's thinking processes paralyzed by fear. There were so many things done wrong that we've got a lot to learn.
Dr. Jensen, I want to ask you about the issue of crime in your state. We have been talking here on the show since we started in June of 2021 together about what happened in 2020 and the BLM riots and what that did to the country. Obviously began in Minneapolis. There was a very loud defund the police movement there. You actually had a police station burned to the ground in Minneapolis, which I think a lot of people forget about. Certainly the national media wants people to forget about it right now. What has happened? I mean, since there were people painting murals of George Floyd and the BLM marches, protests, and riots, and the Democrats deciding that defund was their mantra for the entirety of 2020, what has crime done in Minneapolis and across your state?
It has bled everywhere, and it isn't just the urban areas. What we saw literally was Minneapolis became the epicenter of a nationwide violence. And at the end of the day, you could literally say that Tim Walz is the godfather for all of that violence. He created it by quitting. He quit on Minnesota. He quit on the National Guard. We had TV journalists saying, "Where's our governor?" This is what Tim Walz has done. It's almost as if he was tired out. He was just too lazy to get down in the streets and really help. And so when he finally did put the National Guard out late, he tried to blame Jacob Fry for it. When he let the Third Precinct building burn to the ground, he tried to blame it and say that it was the best advice of law enforcement. And that was entirely his decision. I'm surprised actually that Minnesota hasn't been sued by other states, because other states wouldn't have experienced the kind of decimation and devastation they did had it not been for Tim Walz's entirely inept handling of the riots.
Dr. Jensen, what should he have done? Let's pretend that we're in a different world, and you're right. We hadn't allowed the summer of violence to spiral out and to still be reaping, unfortunately, what we sown in that time with all of the violent crime that has spiraled since. What should have happened in the wake of the George Floyd incident?
In America, as well as Minnesota, we know that we have, if you will, people who would do us harm from both without and within. And to counter that, what we've done is we've created a chain of command. Our military has a very explicit chain of command, but so do our internal, if you will, tools that we utilize to maintain safety and lawful behavior. That's what Governor Walz should have done. He should have tapped into the command chains that were in place. We have the State Patrol. We have the National Guard. We have relationships with other police departments in the suburban areas. All of these could have been a part of a unified response and a rapid response. Certainly not being dragged out day after day after day, where literally we've got, like I mentioned before, TV journalists saying, "Where's our governor?" It should have been a unified, strong, not either or, but both and. This should have been everything going out there, because this was a huge issue. And literally, we have $1 billion of damage. People died. People were hurt. And in those areas today, we still have people just overwhelmed by fear. They don't want to move. They don't have a place to move to. The governor could have used his bully pulpit to elevate the work that the police were doing, the State Patrol could do, the National Guard is doing. But instead, our governor chose to denigrate the very people he had led by calling them 19-year-old cooks. It was astonishing.
Speaking to Dr. Scott Jensen, who was running for the governor's position in Minnesota. Dr. Jensen, we got a lot of people across Minnesota who are listening right now, and we've seen some polls that show that you are making this a competitive race. It's a shame that Minnesota is thought of increasingly as a blue state, but you may be able to turn some of that around, and you're going to need some independents, certainly, and maybe even some Democrats to switch around to decide they're going to give you a shot. If you become the governor of Minnesota, a state where I actually spent a lot of time growing up, it's a beautiful place, how will it be different than if Walz is able to continue in his role?
We'll trailblaze the issues. We'll have the hard conversations. We'll speak for all Minnesotans, and we will tell the truth. We're not going to politicize. That's not who we are. And the fraud that has become identified with Minnesota politics will disappear. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but over the last 72 hours, we've had breaking news where, in almost an unprecedented move, the judicial system of Minnesota came out and Judge Gothman basically called Tim Walz a liar in regards to some of Tim Walz's comments in terms of Judge Gothman's rulings. Judge Gothman said, this is inaccurate what he has said. Tim Walz doubled down and said, well, the judge did this or they would have held us in contempt. The fact of the matter is, Judge Gothman had never made any ruling requiring Minnesota to make fraudulent payments to Feeding Our Future. And so I think Tim Walz right now is being called out by numerous factions across the state of Minnesota, including people on the other side of the aisle. The excellence in government that Minnesota used to be associated with is no longer a part of it. And I think that's why you'll see Real Clear Politics call our race a toss-up. And in doing that, that was before this largest fraud of a COVID relief policy in the entire country taking place in Minnesota. And that's why we're telling people, you know, we've got a chance. We've got a chance to turn Minnesota red, and we need help because Walz's team, they've got 5-to-1 money on us. But if people are willing to help us out and give it, drscottjensen.com, it would help us immensely. And we've already broken all records for fundraising for any Republican governor's race. And we've got over 100,000 people that have joined our email team. We've got 35,000 unique donations. So there's a movement going on in Minnesota, and I hope you keep watching it because the two of you, your voice matters. It really amplifies to the whole country what's going on in Minnesota. And if in Minnesota we see Minnesota turn red and have a governor that's Republican for the first time in a long time, that's going to change the landscape in a lot of other states as well.
No doubt. Dr. Jensen, we appreciate you coming on the show. We're wishing you well. Let us know how we can help out. And good luck to you in making the Minnesota governor's race a true battleground.
Thank you both so much. Together we stand.
No doubt. Those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, which is why it's such a shame most kids hate learning about our history. It's not really their fault. Most history books are boring and often focus on the wrong things. I got three kids. I know how challenging it is to get them read. Actually, unlike or maybe like a lot of you, I have to put the Alexa monitor on and get them to read for a certain amount of time when they get home. And you know what's great? I've seen them actually start to pick up these Tuttle Twin books, particularly my 7-year-old, and read it myself with them, and then have them go and get it and read it on their own, which is even better. And that's why I've got to tell you right now about the Tuttle Twins and their books. If you're interested in teaching your kids truth-filled history, you need to get the new Tuttle Twins history book. Only book that teaches the most important lessons from American history in an engaging way that kids will love. They'll come away with a solid understanding of what happened, why it happened, most important, how it relates to them today. There's a book deal with big bonuses at TuttleRadio.com. That's TuttleRadio.com to get your own copy of the Tuttle Twins America's History book, plus the bonus for a limited time. Go to TuttleRadio.com. That's T-U-T-T-L-E, TuttleRadio.com.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck. We are now joined by the U.S. Senator for Alabama, Senator Tommy Tuberville is with us now. Senator Tuberville, appreciate you making the time for us, sir.
Yes, sir. Coach, please. Please call me Coach.
Coach Tuberville, yes, sir. Whatever you prefer. So tell me this. You just went into a, and you and Clay are going to talk about the sports things in a minute or two here. I leave that to you folks. But on Title IX, I know that you're all over this issue, and the Biden administration, as of a few months ago, was pushing some very radical interpretations of Title IX that would have really affected sports and education more generally. You're on this issue, and I know you've just got some updates on it for us. What is going on with the fight over women's sports, men's sports, Title IX, and the transgender interpretation of it or transgender issues affecting Title IX right now?
Well, thank you, Buck, for having me on. And you're exactly right. This is a complete mess. This radical administration is trying to get in everybody's business. Title IX was probably the biggest success in federal government in the last 50 years. And, of course, June was the 50th anniversary of Title IX. It did so much for women and women's sports. And 3 to 6% of the young girls played high school sports back 50 years ago. Now over 50 to 6% do. So built leadership and all those things. But Joe Biden, when he got in office, he let off his radicals start and try to attack Title IX because they want biological boys to be able to play in women's sports. Now, in the last 15 years, we've had 28 winners of biological boys competing against girls that have won championships, 28. One is way too many. And so Joe Biden has basically tried to change the definition of sex. They want to change the gender identity in Title IX. And by doing that, it's going to cause damage, and it's going to create not a level playing field that was originally created for women. So it's a shame that we're having to go through this, but this is the days that we live in. This is the administration. This is the progressive left that is attacking women. And where are the women's rights group? I don't understand this, because I can remember when Title IX was put in, Buck. This was a huge, huge movement. And now we have just the opposite happening, and nobody's really standing up. But we're going to stand up for them in Washington, D.C., and we're going to fight back against this progressive group and the people that want to tear down women's athletics. We're not going to allow it to happen, and hopefully we can keep bouncing this off the wall until hopefully the cavalry shows up here in the next few months.
Okay, for people out there who are not understanding, and thanks for coming on, Coach Tuberville, basically what they're trying to do is expand the definition of Title IX to encompass gender identity. And what that means to everybody out there listening is, if you got a guy, like happened with Leah Thomas up in the Penn women's swimming, if you got a guy who decides, hey, I'm going to identify now as a woman, they're trying inside the Biden administration, and this is super radical, so I want everybody to understand this. They're trying to define Title IX to encompass gender identity so biological men, grown men, can decide to compete against women and identify as women and become NCAA champions, become world champions. I mean, this is really crazy stuff. And coach, you mentioned the silence. I know you talk to a ton of women's coaches out there, I bet, all over Alabama and beyond. They come up to me all the time when I'm on campus and they say, this is a huge deal for the girls on my teams, for the high school girls that I'm recruiting, for the little girls, my own daughters, you know, some of them are saying that are growing up and having to deal with this. I don't think most people out there understand how crazy this is. How much of your conversations privately are people sharing with you saying this is a big deal, but they're terrified to say something publicly about it?
Well, they are, because this administration has basically got something to use against you, basically call you a racist if you try to go against anything that this administration puts out there. And they're keeping people from talking. That they will actually come after you. And you're seeing it right now as we speak. People are being attacked from the left to the right because they're speaking out. And at the end of the day, people are starting to be gun shy about this. But Clay, this is something we got to step up and fight. I mean, because it's a fight worth making. We're going to start losing women's athletics. We're going to start losing what has been built in the last 50 years. Young girls and women need the opportunity to be able to compete and learn as men and boys do, whether it's a team sport or individual sport, learn time, learn work ethic, learn to work with other people, learn to compete, learn how to win, learn how to lose, all those things you get from sports. But this is absolutely asinine, to be honest with you, that we're even thinking and talking about this, and we're going to fight it all the way to the end, tooth and nail, and hopefully, as I said, we get some sense back in this country in the next few months.
Speaking of Senator Tuberville of Alabama, Senator, just next door, do you think you're going to have Herschel Walker as a Senate colleague? And how do you think it's looking for Kemp to keep his seat in the governor's mansion?
Well, I think both of them will win. I think people are sick and tired of what's going on. And, you know, it's this far left progressive group that is pushing all these radical agendas. Herschel Walker will be excellent. I've worked with him. I've talked with him. I've campaigned with him. I've raised money for him. He's a common sense guy that believes in this country, and that's what scares me. The far left talks about things, but they talk about things that don't make this country better. It makes this country worse. Like this Title IX we're just talking about. Kemp will win, and I hope we got a lot of grass to cover in the next month. But if we had election today, Herschel Walker would win.
Last question for you, Coach. It's the biggest question everybody's debating in the South right now. You probably know you got to talk about opinions for a living, but this one may make you a little bit nervous. Who's the best team in college football this year, Georgia or Alabama?
Oh, Georgia. Right now they're playing better than everybody else. They've got a complete football team from top to bottom. I know Kirby well. I play golf with him a lot, and he said this could be one of his better teams. And then, of course, Nick's going to get a lot better. He didn't play that well against Texas. That was probably something that probably going to help them. But he's got to find some receivers. He's got to be able to stretch the field from sideline to sideline and deep down the field, because people are going to gang up on their running game if they don't do that. Their defense is good, but they've got to get a few more options in their offense.
Senator Trump, who's the best athlete, by the way? I was just going to say, it made me think, who's the best athlete in the Senate?
Best athlete in the Senate, that'd be hard to say, to be honest with you. I tell you, Rand Paul's a good athlete. I play golf with him a lot.
Ted Cruz has a wicked hook shot, you know. Ted Cruz got some basketball game, just throwing it out there. We've seen it.
Yeah, he's got some game. He really does. I think Josh Hawley also. But, you know, when we're in D.C., we're working all the time. You don't get to do a lot with these other guys. I'm sure.
Hey, you've been recruiting your whole life. You got to be able to eye talent, Coach, no matter where you are. A suit jacket or gym shorts, you got to be able to find the talent.
Well, you're probably right. I'm losing my touch. But it is. It's hard to, unless you get them out there and and see him doing things. And you said Ted Cruz, he plays basketball almost every day, and he works hard at it. But there's some good athletes, I'm sure.
Roll Tide, right, Clay? This is where I say
that. Oh, no. You got the Auburn War Eagle with you right now.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Exactly right.
My
I'm
bad.
Trying to teach him. I'm trying to teach him college football, coach. He's working on it.
That was my bad. Senator Tuberville, I apologize. War Eagle, sir, and thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We need to get back on and do the NIL one day because this is a disaster getting waiting to happen. So,
oh yeah, you know what? We need to have a long conversation on it. That's a good idea.
I can contribute this, Clay, to the analysis of the Crimson Tide, which is Alabama, right?
That's correct. You got that
one. The word crimson comes from a red dye made from a bug called the kermes, which for centuries was a primary way of making the color red to dye garments. That's where we get the term crimson from. So when people are running around yelling about the Crimson Tide, they're talking about red bug dye.
I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, my God, Buck.
That is totally accurate. Think,
no, well, I mean, maybe. But the Crimson Tide is like it rolls in. It's like a red tie.
No, I'm just saying the derivation of the word crimson. That's all.
Oh. I thought you were saying that the etymology of the Crimson Tide.
No, I'm saying word crimson comes from bug dye.
Oh, he's too smart. See, this is the problem, Coach. He got me all crossed up. I can't even tell what's going on.
Senator Tuberville, before I make a fool of myself here, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Quit reading those comic books, Buck, please.
Wow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.